look like you've had enough to eat. And you're looking at me and saying, ooh, if that's not the pot calling the kettle black. No, I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. I hope you got to be with your family. Sometimes we're able to do that. Sometimes we're not able to do that because of distance and jobs and other things that people have to do in this world. But it's good if you can get together with each other and share that time with each other. Those are the things you will look at as so precious in the future. I don't know how many times I've heard people talk about, you know, this thing was the last time I got to see this person, or this occasion was the last time I got to see this person. And so we need to do that from time to time so that we can have those memories there that we're creating, and always try to go to these occasions if you can, so that you can just see, if not, just to see how older some of those people look. Just do it that way. But do that and enjoy it. We appreciate everybody being here. Hope you've had a good, safe time and everything is going good for you. Remember our get-together today. We're going to have a good time making fun of somebody. No, that's the wrong occasion. I can't say that. No, we're gonna celebrate a birthday that most of us may not even think about seeing. But we're looking forward to that and having a good time at that and enjoying a birthday with a very sweet lady. We encourage people to become a Christian, and we should do that. We should encourage people to obey the gospel, and that's what we've got to do. But something I wonder sometimes if we really think about how we continue after baptism, because in the church we teach so much about faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, and we should. Because that is a part of Scripture. That is a part of God's Word. And we need to help people to see that. What people need to do to become a Christian. But then what do you do after that? How do you handle that after that? How do we treat other people after that? How should we think about our Christianity after that? There's some things that we need to learn that are going to come after baptism that we need to do within our life. And so we want to look at a few of those things today. First of all, look and see that baptism is something that is very necessary, something that we must be willing to do to comply with God's will. It's not something that we just came up with on our own, but it's what the Bible has to say. And so baptism is very important. But what do you do after baptism? How do you live your life? And that's something I want us to see just a little bit today and understand that a little bit better. First of all, we need to realize that after baptism, we need to be those people that we are willing to rejoice with the salvation that we have. Now, the passage up here, Acts the 8th chapter, talks about the eunuch. And the eunuch wanted to know what the Bible had to say. And he said, I need somebody to teach me. Philip said, I can do that. And he did that. And in teaching him, he taught him what to do. And he said, see, here's water. What hinders me? Nothing hinders you except what you want to do. And so he was baptized at that time. And the Bible said he went away rejoicing. Now we might say that's stretching that thing just a little bit to talk about that. But I want us to know that after baptism, we need to rejoice of our salvation. We need to be happy about that. We need to help other people to see how important it is. And so we need to be those people that we're going to be joyous after our salvation. And that joy is going to continue on, and it's not going to stop. Because we're going to continue to be people in God's kingdom. Continue to be people that are following God and doing what God would have us to do. It's important that we realize that this thing of baptism is so significant that it should help us to recognize that it washes away our sins. Now, Paul, talking about his conversion with some people in Acts 22 and verse 16, said, I was told by Ananias to arise and to be baptized and to wash away my sins. You know, the Bible never says believe your sins away. It says wash your sins away. It says wash your sins away because that's what God said that we're to do, and this is what we're going to get for it. It translates us from darkness, from sin, into the kingdom of God's dear Son, Colossians 1 and verse 13. It helps us to see that and helps us to know that. And you see, when we are obeying the gospel and we obey this thing of being baptized, it helps other people to see that, but it helps us to know that. Because you've got to know that you're a saved person. It's not a matter of, well, I'm not real sure, but you need to know that because you've complied with God's will. Now, are you perfect in it? No, nobody is ever perfect. But we've complied with God's will and we received the promise that God said we were going to receive because God makes the promise. He keeps His word in that. He keeps what He's saying to us. So we've got to be that person in there. We've got to be baptized in a scriptural way. Now, by this, I mean, some people talk about baptism as though it's something you can just do what you want. If you don't want to do it, it's okay. If you want to be baptized a different way, not as the Bible, the word really means, to dip, to submerge, to plunge a person under the water. And you've seen that before probably, where a person has taken a person and lowered them down into the water. Sometimes we don't see the significance of that, but we need to. That it is a cleansing, not just of the body, and that's not what the purpose of that was, but it was a cleansing of the soul. It's something that can stick in our minds. God could have done that in so many other ways, but He chose to do that way so that we could understand it, I think, in a greater way. And so here we are immersed in water. We are dipped, we are submerged in water to have our sins washed away. Romans 6 and verse 4 helps us to see that, and other passages in the New Testament, that this is what we are supposed to do, and it helps us. We have then a right relationship with God because we're those people that we're complying with God's will, and we're going to keep doing that. We've complied with what God wants us to do. We've complied with what God would have us to do. And we are encouraged by that because we can look and see, this is what God said for me to do, and this is what I've done. I've complied with that. And you see, we need to understand, when you have done what God tells you to do, you need to be a person who rejoices in that. And you're happy about that. Because you can read it, you can see it. It's not a matter of, well, I think this is what I need to do, or this is possibly what I need to do, but this is what I need to do. This is what God said for me to do, and I'm going to do that. We've already mentioned what Paul said in Acts 22 and verse 16. We could go to Acts, the second chapter, and see the people there, what they were doing. Those people there recognized their sins. It was read in your hearing a while ago. And they said, we've got to do something. We've got to change. And they were changed. They were changed by God. Not just by themselves and on their own stead, but by God. Because you see, even though we may be those people that we look at what the Scriptures have to say and we change our lives, that it's not on us because we wouldn't know what to do. It's what God has told us to do. It's the important thing. It's how God has told us to comply with His will. And so we can have that joy of heaven because we're doing the will of God. We're complying with what God wants us to do. So we can have that joy that's there. Now look at this. After baptism, after a person is baptized, we want to see some things that can help us to be the right kind of people. We need to be the right example. We need to be the right example for all people. Jesus in Matthew 5 and verse 16 said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father in heaven. Why should people, when they see us doing those good works, should they glorify God? Because they know us. And they know without the influence of God, we probably wouldn't be doing things like that. And so they see in us a person that has been affected by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Affected, and I guess you might say infected by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so here we're going to change it and we're going to be a different person. And people are going to see that and say, you know, oh, Charles, I didn't think he could do something like that. In fact, I know he couldn't do anything like that. But look at how God has influenced him. And they glorify God in that. They give God the credit for it. They give God the significance of that in their lives. And, you know, we know why people are called Christians, because we're Christ-like. We're those people that are trying to live like Jesus Christ would live if He was still on this earth. In fact, we're trying to live like He lived when He was on this earth. Because He came and said, it's not to do my will, but it's to do the will of my Father that's in heaven. That's the reason He came, so that He could help us to see that. And here, the first teaching that we're really going to do is by the example that we have, by the way we live our lives, by the way we conduct ourselves. And you know, for many people, that's one of the greatest ways that they teach other people. Remember that. There's a lot of things we might not be able to do. You might not think, and people can do it, You might not think, I couldn't be a preacher, I couldn't be a teacher, but let me tell you something. You might not be a teacher, but you are teaching by the way you live your life. You're showing the example of what a Christian really is all about. And that's what the world wants to see. They don't want to see somebody up preaching sermons and all that. They want to see people where Christianity has had an effect on their lives and it's changed them. That's what they want to see. That's what they need to see. And you know what? The devil doesn't want the world to see that. You just think about it. When the good works of people that are Christians have been talked about, there's a lot of people in the world that wants to criticize. Well, you know, he did this and he did that. But we need to recognize how wonderful it is to have that example. We're going to be those people that we're going to meet many people who consider themselves Christians, who say that they're Christians, but they may not be. They may not be because maybe they haven't obeyed some of the things that we've talked about. Maybe they haven't been baptized. Maybe they just are those people that believe. They're those people that just believe just a little bit. It's like when Agrippa was being taught the gospel. In Acts, the 26th chapter, when Agrippa there, when he said, almost you've persuaded me to become a Christian at the preaching of Paul. You've almost caused me to believe fully. Now, did he believe some of it? Yes. Did he believe a portion of it? Yes. Did he believe a little of it? Yes. Did he believe all of it? No. Because if he'd have believed all of it, it would have affected him in such a way that he would want to change his life. He would want to live a different way. But it did not. He said, you're almost got me. You see, we can almost be believers. We could be people who we could confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we could stand up before people and talk about that. We could talk about the Bible. We could talk about what the Bible has to say, what a great book it is, what a great person Jesus Christ was, what a great person Christians are, and never be a child of God. Now, we have to realize that. It's not a matter of just that I talk about being a Christian. It's not a matter of just that, you know, I go to church, but has it really changed our lives? Has it really changed us in such a way that we're those people that we're going to be willing to really be those people that stand up for what God would have us to stand up for, and we're going to comply with what God wants us to comply with? We're going to find out what His will is. We're going to study so that we might know what God wants us to do, and though, so we can do that. And we also need to be those people that we have, that we can show what we believe. Now, listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. He said, but sanctify, set God apart in your heart. That's the thinking part of man. Set God apart in that. How do you do that? You say, listen, what He says is greater than anybody else's. What He says is better than anybody else's. You know, we take some things and we set them apart because they are more important than others. Their importance is greater than other things. And so we set those things apart. It's just like many of you ladies probably are going to have to work the next 3 or 4 weeks to get all that silverware and all those fancy dishes you've got all cleaned up, put up, polished up, ready for Christmas, because it's coming up pretty quick here when you got to get it all out again. You've set those things up, and they're important. Now, the other utensils you use every day are important, but these are special utensils. That's what he's talking about here. You take God and you make Him special in your heart, and always be ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is in you. It's not a matter of just that I believe, but it's a matter of, look, this is what I'm supposed to do. You just think about the security. You can believe anything you want to. And some people do believe a lot of things. And some of them may be a lie. But if you've got it written down, and you can go back to it and say, look what it says here. Look at this right here. It's written right here. And you can see that, and you can read that, and you can know that too. It's not a matter of just it's in my mind. But I'm complying with what God has written on His pages. And it's there for us to be able to know. To give a reason of the hope that you have because of what God has said, I believe in that, I trust in that. And God's going to keep His word. God always keeps His word. Now, that can be a wonderful thing, and it can be a scary thing too. but he always keeps his word. He never backs up on his word. A reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. It's talking about how we're to do that, how we're to receive that word in us, and how we're to live our lives with a fear and a trust in God. Now, some people don't like the word fear. We can define that in other ways to make it sound a little bit better, but it's saying you're going to have a respect for God. You're going to have a respect for God's word. Now, what we need to do when we become a Christian, we need to remember. We need to remember that you're going to face some problems in your life. You're going to face some temptations in your life. They're going to come. When you become a Christian, the devil doesn't just walk away from you and say, well, that's a lost cause. No, he says, listen, that's one I need to get back. I had him before. I had her before, and I'm going to get them back again. And so he puts temptations in front of us, and sometimes we succumb to them. And it's not a matter if he's going to wait 6 months or a year. He may do it just at the moment when we get out of the baptistry. Now, look at this fellow here, Simon the sorcerer. He was a fellow who obeyed the gospel. And if you can't see that in there, let me know. Be glad to show it to you. It's very simple to see. He heard it, he believed it, and he obeyed it. He was a Christian. But he saw that the power of the Holy Spirit could be purchased. It could be bought, is what he thought. Because he had bought his other tricks. He had bought his other things from other people. And he had his tricks there that were his. And he thought this was one that he could buy. And he said, how much you charge me for that? And he was told, you don't have part nor lot in this. You are in the bond of iniquity. You're lost, is what he was saying. You're lost. Why? Because he was looking for that power, for that prestige over other people. That's not what you're looking for as a Christian. You see, as a person that after they've been baptized, they're looking at others as better than themselves, to try to help others and do for them, to do things. And they're willing to sacrifice their own well-being, their own wants and desires for those of other people. Now, what if you lived in a world like that? Some of us have seen a great deal of that world. It seems like today that it's disappearing just a little bit. But where people are concerned about others more than they're concerned about their own selves. And they're wanting to help others and do for others so that they can have that kindness and love. Even people that are not Christians want to do that, but especially we as God's people should be willing to do that and should want to do that more than anything else. Now, this man faced a temptation there, and he succumbed to that temptation. And he was told, no, you don't understand. That's not the way a Christian should live. That's not the way a Christian should conduct himself. In fact, the person that was talking to him said it in such a way as I think it scared him just a little bit. And he said, pray God, if perhaps the things you said won't happen to me, ask God to help me to overcome that. Help me to do that. I'd love to know more about his life. I'd love to know how that affected him and how that changed him. I'd like to know how his Christianity continued in his life on. But God chose us there. He was willing to ask God to forgive him. He was willing to ask others to pray for him because he wanted the forgiveness and he desired the forgiveness of God. He desired to have every bit of that. So here he is. His money, his power, his prestige, it was there and he wanted it then, but he had to learn. Listen, as a Christian, you're going to be tempted. You got to learn to overcome the temptations. You got to overcome all those temptations. In Romans 11, verse 22, listen to what the Roman writer said. Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God. On those that obey Him, it's goodness. On those that disobey Him, it is severity. It is punishment. Now, we need to remember that. We don't need to forget that. That needs to be something we got to do. If we are those people that are continue in His goodness. And we could say that several ways. We could say those people that are going to continue following what the Scriptures have to say, those people that are going to continue being faithful to God and do God's will. There's a lot of ways you can say that. But here it says that the people here are going to do those things that are good that God wants them to do. If you continue in those things, otherwise if you don't, the severity of God's there. There's a little encouragement, there's a little warning that's there for us that we might live the right kind of life, that we might conduct ourselves in the right kind of way so that we can be willing to do that and we can have that and it can be a part of us. Now listen to this. We've got to be those people that we're going to grow. If you're going to be a Christian, you can't be a Christian and stay immature. You can't do that. It's wrong. It's not right. And listen to this. It will not happen to those that are being faithful. It won't happen. Because you're going to want to know more about Jesus Christ. You're going to want to know more about the life that He lived. Now, you know, Peter in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, I think it is, he said there, look at this, it's like little babies that desire milk. Now, we've all seen little babies and milk. If they don't get it, they're going to cry for it. And they're going to keep on crying until they get it. And when they get it, it's not a matter of, well, I'm going to taste this. It's a matter they're trying to swallow the whole bottle at one time. Were yours like that? Our kids were. Boy, you put that in their mouth and man, they are going to town. They are thrilled because they know that's the thing that keeps them going. And he said, you be like that according to the word and the will and the way of God. You desire that so much that you just can't get enough of it. Do that, this word, that you might grow by it. Do that so that you can be a child of God, so that you can survive in the world we live in, so that you can overcome the devil when he throws his fiery darts at you. You have the power to be able to do that. We grow in the Word, and we've got to be willing to do that. Paul talked about that in 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 and 16. He said there, listen, you need to take this Word. It is from God's mouth. And here he's showing the importance of it. It's not just something that somebody said, but it's from the mouth of God. Now, anything that comes from the mouth of God, we need to kind of prick our ears up a little bit and listen to it. If God says it, we need to hear it because it's important. It's very important for us to do that. And he said, this word has the power to guide you into doctrine, into faith, into things that were right and good, all those things that are there, all those spiritual things. That's God's will. He said, you need to listen to that. You need to hear that. And that's the thing that's going to help you to grow spiritually. Have you ever wondered why it's so hard to study the Word of God? It's so hard to study the Bible. And sometimes it seems like you've just got to force yourself to do it. That's the old devil. He doesn't want us to study the Word because he knows the more you study that Word, the more you find out about God, the more you're going to love Him. The more you're going to want to do His will. The more you're going to see the kind of person he is. Now, you need to look at some of these older Christians in this congregation and other congregations where they have been faithful and they've suffered the slings and the arrows of this life. They've suffered the temptations. They've suffered the problems. They've succumbed to some of them. They repented of those things. They've come back to God and God is there ready to forgive and God has forgiven them of those sins. How that those are the people that are more faithful. Those are the people that are going to say the glorious things about God. Even when, say, a loved one dies or a child dies or a parent dies, they're those people that learn to trust in God even more. And they're the people that show their trust in God in a greater way. Because, you see, this Word has the power to do that. This Word has the power to help people to grow. And we can do that. It's the only thing. Worship is important. The worship service is a great thing, and we need to be willing to do that. But let me tell you something. There's nothing that beats the study of the Word of God. Nothing at all. Daily Bible study, that's important. That's necessary. That's great. And we need to be willing to do that. Peter was one who identified these people here as babes, as those that should desire this and want it more than anybody else. Now, you see, we don't need to be like some of the people in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verse 12, it said, you know, by this time, talking to some people that are, by this time, you ought to be teachers. But he said, you're not teachers because you don't know enough to teach. You don't know the subject that you're trying to teach. He said, you need to be teachers. But what you need now is not to be teachers. You need to be those people that go back and get the first principles You need to go back to the first grade. In fact, you need to go back to kindergarten, where they teach you those basic things that you're going to need to know. Those basic, simple things that are so important. You need to go back to those things, these first principles. And you need to be the one that you understand these oracles of God, these words that God delivered to His people so that you can trust. He said, I don't want you to be like that. But He said, that's the way you are. The more we know God, the more we're going to love You. The more we're going to grow in our service to Him. And we do that partly by the study of the Word, by worship, by attending together, by being together. In fact, the passage was read a while ago, Acts 2 and verse 42, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread. Now, part of that is involved in the worship. Part of it's involved in the Lord's Supper. A part of it is involved in the fellowship we have one with another. I don't know why people don't realize how important the worship service is, because we encourage each other in this. Now, you just think about it. You come in here and pews are just empty. There's a whole bunch of pews that don't have people in them. Honestly, isn't that discouraging to you? It is to me. I want every pew to be filled. Not just so Mark and I can preach to them. Because every person that is here represents a soul that's either saved or lost. A soul that needs to be encouraged and lifted up and be and made stronger so that they can go out this next week and deal with the devil and deal with the world and overcome all of that. That's what they've got to do. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 said, be diligent. I mean, put your mind, your heart into it, and you be one that you are willing to present yourselves as that person of God. You try to do that more than anything else. You try to show that you're a Christian. Now you say, well, I'm not real good at it. None of us are from time to time, but you get better the more you do it. And you're blessed because of it. And you're encouraged because of it. We need to be willing to do that. Study your Bibles every day. Find out what God says within His Word and be willing to do what God would have you to do in that Word that is His. Now, look at this. We're going to face persecution. That persecution may become something that is greater in the time that we have. We could go back in history and see how Christians were persecuted. Some of them in the past were taken and they had skins of animals sewn on them, and then dogs and lions and other things that eat raw meat were set on these people. And these people lost their lives. They've been people that they were told, listen, if you don't confess or deny Jesus Christ, then you're going to lose your life. And they lost their life. They lost the life that was theirs. We all have to deal with peer pressure, not just those that are younger. Sometimes we talk about peer pressure for young people, and, you know, they go to these parties and drink and take drugs and do all this stuff, and they're encouraged to do that by their friends, do things that are wrong, that they know that are wrong, but because of the pressure that they're under, they sometimes succumb to that. But let me tell you, it's not just young people. It's us that are older too. And if we're not careful, we will allow those around us to kind of help us to be encouraged to do what's right. Now, we make the final decision. So we can't blame them for it, okay? Don't say, well, now, they made me do it. What was it, the comedian years ago that said, the devil made me do it. I walked up to that pool, and I wasn't going to jump in, but the devil just pushed me in. Let me tell you something. We make a decision we want to jump. Don't blame other people for your sins. Now, I think you need to stay away from those people. But don't blame other people for your sins, because you make that decision as to what you're going to do. You say, oh, but it's hard to make that decision. It may be hard, but you need to be willing to make that decision and do what is right and do the things that are right before God. We see these things that we need to quit and that we need to stop. In 1 Peter, it talks there in 1 Peter 4, verses 1 through 6, and I'm not going to read all that, but he talks there about Jesus Christ and the suffering he had to go through. And then it goes on and talks about different sins that people have committed there. And it's saying, you know, you need to be like the Lord. He had to turn those things down. Could you imagine Jesus being tempted by a woman, by drink, by power? I think he could be. I think he faced those temptations just like you. Why do you think the devil said on one occasion when he was being tempted in Matthew 4, why the devil said, listen, you see all these kingdoms of the world? I'll make you ruler over every one of them. That was a temptation. But Jesus understood it was only for a short time and it wasn't for eternity. And that's what he was concerned about. Don't be tempted to have those things that are just here now for that very moment that last only a second. Just a short time, and then it goes away, and it's not there. Oh, look at all these young ladies and men nowadays that they're so concerned about beauty that they'll stick stuff in their faces and do all that. I'm not saying it's wrong, okay? If you want to do that, that's up to you. But let me tell you something. You can only go so far, and you'll look like Joan Rivers after that. Have you seen that woman? I don't think she can smile. She doesn't have muscles to smile anymore. They've tucked and pulled and towed and everything else on her. Now, I am being critical of that woman, or maybe of an attitude that she has. You can do all that, but let me tell you something. When it's time to die, you're going to die. I don't care if you're 95 or 96. I'm going to get it for that one, I guarantee you. I don't care if you're 96 and you look 21. You're still going to die, and you're still going to stand before God, and you're still going to have to give an account for your life. We got to be people that recognize that we got to live our lives in a different way. We got to live as God would have us to live. We've got to do what God wants us to do. Now, look at this, the last thing. We need to learn that as a child of God, we need to encourage other people. We need to encourage people to do what's right. We need to encourage people as they're trying to be faithful to God. And you know, we talked a while ago about some things that people can't do. They may not feel like they can preach. I figure if Mark and I can do it and get by with it, anybody can do it and get by with it. But you may not feel like you can do that, but you can go up to somebody and say, you did a good job. Appreciate that sermon. Appreciate that Bible class. I enjoyed your prayer today. Thank you for teaching my children. Thank you for helping them to find out what's right and what's good and to do that and encourage them. You see, we can do that and we can help other people. We can encourage other people. Hebrews 10, and we usually go to verse 25. I think verse 24 has a significance for us too. In verse 24, it says, let us consider one another. Now, think about that other person. Don't think about yourself. That's selfishness. But think about that other person. And see, we're going to live our Christian life because of that other person. To stir up love. To cause them to recognize that God loves them, that you love them, that you want them the best for them. Stir them up to love God better and to good works. Help them to see those things that need to be done. Help them to understand the things that need to be done there. And then he said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is. Now, please don't think he's just talking about coming to church. Just don't think he's talking about just worship. There's more to it than that. Because you see, this is how we can encourage each other. This is how we can provoke each other to love and to good works. This is how we can help other people to do that. But he said, encourage those people, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, what day is that? Some people say, well, it was this and it was that. I want to think, give you an opinion, okay, and you look at it and let me know what you think about it. The time when that person's going to leave this world. The time when the world's going to end. You encourage them because that time is coming fast. Some of you are older, and I hope you get to be older, but you may not. I don't know. Nobody knows the end of their life. Nobody. The doctors can come in and say, well, they don't have much longer, but they can't tell you how much longer they've got. They can make a guess at it, and sometimes they're pretty good at it. And sometimes they're not good at it. I've met people that they've said, you know, the doctor told me I was going to die 25 years ago and I'm still kicking. I'm still making it. I'm still going. Nobody knows, but we just make kind of guesses about that. But he said, we need to be encouraging other people to do good and to do right and to live right and to follow God. We need to be willing to do that. You know, we've got a lot of things to do after baptism. Baptism is not the end. It is only the beginning. In fact, Paul talked about it as a new birth, where you're born again into the family of God to grow in that as a child of God. And so we're going to be willing to do that. Listen to this passage here, Revelation, the 3rd chapter and verse 5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, purity. He'll be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of remembrance. God will remember the things that are done and give you glory for that and give you honor for that and give you praise for that. And Jesus said, listen, it's going to be so great and so good that I'm going to stand up before my Father in heaven and I'm going to say, hey, here's old Charles Thompson. He's my friend. He's my brother. He's the one that follows me. But not only that, Jesus said, I'll stand up before everybody in heaven and say that. Somebody says something bad about you, and then somebody comes up and says, no, that's not right. Had a fellow tell me one time about a fellow at church. He said, oh, this guy here doesn't like that guy. He doesn't like him at all. And I said, well, sorry about that, but I like the guy. I think he's trying to do the best he can. I said, he may make mistakes, but he's trying to live the right kind of life, trying to do the best he can. Have you talked to him about that? No. Okay. You don't want to find out the answer. You don't want to solve the problem. And it's going to continue to be there. But here, we got to speak up for others because we've got one that speaks up for us. It's Jesus Christ. He introduces us to the Father. And let me tell you something. The Father's sitting there smiling because here's one that His Son has introduced to Him. Don't you glory in the things your children have done? Aren't you happy about that? Don't you think God's happy when His Son says, this is the person that's following you? And the Father knows it's because of the words that I gave Him, that He delivered, that we now have that forgiveness. Oh, there's a lot to do after baptism. So start doing it. Start following it. Start complying with it. Because all those things that we do are going to help us to be better Christians and help us to enjoy our Christianity. Let me tell you, if your religion has made you sad and forlorn and just down and out, it's not the religion of Jesus Christ. Because the religion of Jesus Christ is one of hope, one of encouragement, one of assurance of all those things. Now, if you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to be one. I want to encourage you to be a child of God. Do what those people did in Acts, the 2nd chapter. Do what they did. Just read that. I don't have to tell you. You can read for yourself. Just read. What must we do to be saved? And what they were told to do to be saved. Repent, be baptized, wash away your sins, call on the name of the Lord. And you go down to verse 48 in that chapter, chapter 2, God added to the church daily those that were being saved. Okay, if we do what those people did, God's going to do what He did for those people. How complicated is that? Don't make religion complicated. Make it simple. Make it simple. And it is simple. Come and follow Jesus Christ today. If you're not a Christian, we'll help you do that. If you are, there's sin in your life, we'll help you to repent of those sins. We'll encourage you. We'll lift you up. We'll be there for you. We'll do what we can to help you. This song is for us to be able to give each one of us an opportunity to think about that. Respond publicly if you need to. Be willing to do that. Don't be ashamed of that. But in your heart, change that heart. And let it change your life. Please come right now as we stand and as we sing.